It's 8:04 on listener-supported KGNU. This is the Morning Magazine for Wednesday, January 29th of 2025. Hey there, I'm Jackie Sedley. Coming up on today's program, we'll be talking about food waste, what it looks like in the U.S., and what a local organization is doing to help prevent food waste. Then it's Make Them Hear You with Chris Moore. And we'll wrap up with herbalist Brigitte Mars and her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. Commentary from Jim Hightower at the bottom of the hour. Then, coming up on today's A Public Affair, the Department of Spanish and Portuguese at CU Boulder hosted an event last week on today's immigration landscape, on the rights people have and the allyship people can offer. That discussion featured two immigration lawyers, Violeta Chapin of CU's Law School and Valencia Talbridge from Murad Immigration. You'll hear that panel discussion this morning. At 9:30, it's the Morning Sound Alternative. Just about 8:12 on listener-supported KGNU. This is the Morning Magazine. I'm Jackie Sedley. If food waste could be represented as its own country, it would be the third largest greenhouse gas emitter, right behind China and the United States. That's according to the UN Environment Program. The United States wastes more food than any other country in the world, nearly 120 billion pounds every year. That's about 40% of the entire U.S. food supply, equating to roughly 325 pounds of waste per person. There's local groups that are trying to stave off food waste. Goodie Bag is a food waste prevention service that works with restaurants right here in Boulder. When you purchase a goodie bag, you're actively helping to prevent food waste. KGNU's Grace Maruska spoke with CEO Eddie Connors to find out more.
We are a marketplace for surplus food. So we help local shops like restaurants, bakeries, and grocers sell any perfectly good unsold food they have to local customers via our mobile app, who can purchase this surplus product for at least 50% cheaper than what it would have cost, and then go pick it up from the store. Ultimately, helping these local shops salvage revenue on otherwise sunk costs and reach new customers, while giving people the most affordable options on quality local food and collectively reducing food waste.
So tell me a little bit about how it started.
Yeah, it began after my former college roommate and I graduated from CU Boulder. We were roommates for a couple years and always ideating different startup concepts. After graduating, we participated in this 10-week startup summer program hosted by the Silicon Flatirons department at a CU. And we brainstormed the idea of Goodie Bag during that program, ultimately built out the business model for it and won that pitch competition, launched it in Boulder, January of 2023 with the local pizzeria Barchetta.
Can you tell me what the largest cause of food waste is in the United States?
It's actually households. So it's consumers that contribute the most to food waste. So point the finger at yourself half-heartedly. But yeah, that's actually statistically where most of food waste occurs. And then second to that, I think that's about like 43% of the food waste. And then about 40% is across the retail sector. So restaurants and groceries and other shops that you would walk into and purchase food from. And then it's industrial, so more so on like factory side and wholesaler side. And then you actually get to the farm.
Tell me how people can help prevent food waste.
It just requires, on one side, which is conscientiousness of wanting to mitigate food waste on a personal level. And we all can relate to coming back from the grocery store and thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to eat all this. And then having stuff ended up in the trash because you couldn't get to it in time. So it's a mix of personal habit, leveraging storage, if stuff's near an expiry, figure out how to make it into a dish to consume, or make stuff in bulk if you have stuff that you need to make all at once, and then you can store it in a fridge or freezer for longer. The other thing I'll point out is that the sell-by, use-by, best-by expiration dates on package labels are not representative of the safety of the food. They're manufacturer suggestions based on its freshness. And most of those items are often safe to consume well past those dates. And so not to just discount the product because it has a date on it, but to just use your senses, smell, and taste to actually determine if that product is spoiled or not. The FDA doesn't actually regulate those dates. And so a lot of them have a very conservative logic applied to them.
Yeah. So tell me about just how many cities Goodie Bag is working with.
Mm-hmm. So in Colorado, we're in Boulder, like the greater Boulder area, the greater Denver area, and Fort Collins. And then we're in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Charleston, South Carolina, and Milwaukee and Madison, Wisconsin, and Phoenix, Arizona.
What kind of impact have you seen Goodie Bag kind of create within these communities?
On the more emotional side, we get so much positive feedback, oftentimes from employees who are using Goodie Bag at their restaurant, telling us, oh, it feels so much better being able to use Goodie Bag rather than having to throw this out. Like, I love this. Thanks so much. And so that really feels good to just know that we're able to provide something that allows people to act in alignment with the world they want to be in. I think a lot of people, when given the choice, would prefer not to waste food. And so it's cool that we can empower them to give them that choice. Being able to see, at this point, we've helped consumers save over $500,000. And so it's pretty gnarly putting that into perspective. Like, yeah, that's money that can be spent elsewhere. Most of Americans feel the pressure of food costs. And so a lot of people are able to experience and access good food through our platform that otherwise wouldn't have purchased at full price.
So finally, just tell me some Boulder restaurants that we can find Goodie Bag at.
I mentioned Barchetta was our first partner. Vitality Bowls was our second partner. Nude Foods, awesome, locally owned grocer based in Boulder, and they have a Denver location as well. They're completely like zero waste store. Everything's packaged in glass, little glass jars. So they're a super cool shop. Chemaine's Bakery, owned and operated by Chemaine herself, and does really high quality, good stuff there. Moxie Bread, they're a Colorado staple. They're in North Boulder and Louisville and Lyons, and they have some real good, high quality baked goods, breads. Just Be Kitchen, so they're another really high quality spot. They're 100% gluten, grain, and refined sugar free. So they take pride in their ingredients as well. And so that's another great one. And we're adding more. We're continuing to, my brother's out in Denver, Boulder right now, partnering with more shops. So yeah, hopefully some more ones will join. And if anybody knows any shops that would be a good fit, tell them about us and have them reach out.
On listener-supported KGNU. This is The Morning Magazine. I'm Jackie Sedley. We turn now to Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
Make them hear you. Make them This is Make Them Hear You with ideas on how you can have your voice heard before Congress. Convicted felon Donald Trump has had a busy first week in office, and even some Republicans are pushing back. Civil servants' nonpartisan jobs are being threatened, and they are being replaced by political appointees. The brand new and as yet unnamed H.R. 492 is a bipartisan House bill that was sponsored by 8 Democrats and 2 Republicans. It preserves federal employees' ability to perform their jobs without the threat of political retribution or firing without due process. A lawsuit was instantly filed by the National Treasury Employees Union, and more unions representing federal employees are expected to follow suit in response to one of Trump's executive orders. In a related issue, executing Project 2025's call to remove the inspectors general, Trump informed at least 15 independent inspectors general of various federal departments that they were fired, including the Departments of Defense, State, Transportation, Labor, Health and Human Services, Veterans Affairs, Housing and Urban Development, Interior, Energy, Commerce and Agriculture, as well as the Environmental Protection Agency, Small Business Administration, and Social Security. Most were Trump's own appointees from his first term. But just last week, Iowa Republican Senators Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst co-founded a bipartisan caucus, the Inspector General Caucus, at the level of the Senate to support them, and Grassley does intend to defend them. And as Republican Susan Collins has said, quote, "I don't understand why one would fire individuals whose mission it is to root out waste, fraud, and abuse. This leaves a gap in what I know is a priority for President Trump, so I don't understand it." Democrats who do claim to understand it say that it is to prevent Trump from being held accountable for fraud and abuse. Congress passed a law in 1978 to create 12 inspectors general to fight fraud and waste. In 2008, Congress expanded the law by creating the Council of Inspectors General on Integrity and Efficiency, covering 68 offices. And in 2022, Congress amended the law to require any president who sought to get rid of an inspector general to, quote, "communicate in writing the reasons for any such removal or transfer to both houses of Congress, not later than 30 days before the removal or transfer." Congress called the law the Securing Inspector General Independence Act of 2022. Not only are Republicans confused and Democrats outraged, several of those fired inspectors general are certain of the illegality of the order and came to work on Monday. If you have thoughts on these issues regarding our civil servants, you can share your ideas around the bipartisan House Resolution 492 to preserve federal employees' ability to perform their jobs without threat of political retribution or firing without due process with your representative. The Senate seems to be taking up the issue of trying to force Trump to honor the 2022 Securing the Inspector General Independence Act, forcing him to obey the law on integrity and efficiency, to have a 30-day written process with Congress to explain any potential firings. For either of these matters, you can contact your senators at senate.gov and your representative at house.gov. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
Just about 8:24, listener-supported KGNU. We'll end today's Morning Magazine with herbalist Brigitte Mars and her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. Since it is still technically winter, I thought I would do a series on teas that you might enjoy. We all know that when we're ill, we need to drink more fluids. And there's something so amazing about drinking herbal teas. One is that we are tasting the herbs. And even though it's so easy to swallow a pill or take a tincture, but when we taste the herbs, our brain starts responding to the subtle flavors. We're also consuming more liquids. We're also taking in the aromas of the tea. And it can also be an opportunity for affirmations such as, I'm nourishing my nervous system. I'm strengthening my immune system. Of course, I'll never microwave my water. I don't have a microwave. You don't need to get me one for any type of holiday present. But I like to encourage people to use good quality cookware, which is not aluminum. Gosh, we've known for so many years, and it's just starting to come out in the mainstream media, that aluminum is a very soft metal that comes out in your food and can be a contributing factor to memory loss, dementia, Alzheimer's, all that stuff. So We're going to use good quality cookware, unchipped enamel, stainless steel, glass, and good quality water, ideally. So when we're using herbal preparations that are made from flowers and leaves, they do have delicate essential oils. So ideally, we don't want to boil them. So my method, at least one method, is to make an herbal tea, is to bring a cup or a quart of water to a boil, turn the heat off, add the herbs, and then put the lid on. We want to seal in those aromatic essential oils. And herbal teas can take a little bit longer to steep than, say, your black teas and your green teas. So put the lid on, and then you just need a strainer. I know it is so lovely to put honey in your tea, but then every cup of tea you drink is going to be like sweet. So I do think that tasting the subtle flavors. Another easy way to make tea is using a French press. So get yourself a pretty non-aluminum French press and put your herbs in. Generally, the proportions are a heaping teaspoon of herb per cup of water. Put that in the French press, fill it up with hot water, let it steep for 20 minutes, and then the French press will strain it out. Now, another method that I use a lot is the overnight infusion. And this is done in a ball jar where you add a generous amount of herb, like nettles, one of my favorite. Add about an ounce of herb to the ball jar, a wide mouth jar, cover it with boiling water, and put the lid on and let it steep overnight. This is going to extract the maximum amount of virtue and medicinal properties of your tea. So enjoy a cup of tea, morning, noon, and night. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
That brings us to the end of today's Morning Magazine. Once again, I'm Jackie Sedley. A quick update for you. There's a slash pile burning planned for today at Hall Ranch, that's west of Lyons. The fire management program will conduct this slash pile burn today. So this is a continuation of the work done last weekend. There are no planned closures of the trails or property. Slash pile burns are conducted to reduce the amount of fuel resulting from forestry operations. Smoke and flames may be visible for up to 72 hours after a controlled burn, and there may be heavy smoke in the air. But do not worry if you see any smoke to the north. It's that slash pile burn. And one final reminder, if you hear something that you'd like to comment on KGNU, not just from the news, but throughout your days and into the evenings, you can call our listener comment line, 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesdays during our morning magazine. Stay tuned for a public affair. The Department of Spanish and Portuguese at CU Boulder hosted an event on today's immigration landscape, on the rights people have and the allyship people can offer. The discussion featured two immigration lawyers, Violeta Chapin of CU's Law School and Valicia Talbridge from Murad Immigration. You'll hear that panel discussion this morning after a couple of announcements and some headlines from the BBC, as well as Jim Hightower. Stay tuned.